here we are, and welcome to a special episode of the Friday Night Movie Podcast, because we have with us a comedian whose special is in fact called Prettiest Girl at the Special School. We have with us the hilarious Tori Piskin. Welcome, Tori.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. First off, I have to say that last time I felt like such an asshole because we had this whole thing set up and I know you guys are all in different places and then I just didn't show up.
We didn't tell anyone, so you gave it away just now, which is totally fine.
We never reveal that.
We weren't like talking shit about
But you know what we are talking shit about? Becky's ability to plug in her microphone.
Your microphone
literally has never plugged it in right. And then gets mad at us.
Is it plugged in?
Oh my God, are you happy now? Does it sound so much better?
You don't sound like you're in like a subway station.
You know what? I don't even need to be here. There are so many people on this podcast.
We know that's how you feel. You just said it out loud.
I feel like you're my mom because she's always threatening to end the podcast with me. Like she, I think she like likes using it as a way to control me still. You know what I mean? Like if I have an attitude, she'll be like, that's it. I'm not doing the podcast anymore. And she goes, I know you need me.
Our mother.
Except
so
Becky's
our mother
like,
is
not sure if we need her. We do.
Our mother is our all time favorite guest on our podcast. And she, every time she does something embarrassing, she catches us like videoing her or texting each other so we don't forget. She's like, oh, so this is going to be on the podcast. Well, I just get made fun of on that podcast all the time. But if she was at my house right now, she would find a reason to like knock on the door and come in the room and be like, you forgot something. Oh, are you podcasting? So we know what it's like to podcast with parents. Your mom is hilarious. Oh, and you have your podcast. Got it from my mama.
Got it from my mama.
With Lulu Piskin, your mother. Let's start there because our mom is such a big inspiration to us, but also the number one person we make fun of.
Right.
Because that's how we show love in our family. Is that like a similar thing for you?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think she shows love to me through her criticism. Like I've been home for only a week and I want to blow because the amount of critiques she gives me, it's not even like, I feel like typically when people think of like, oh, a mother critiquing their child, it's about their appearance, but it's gotten crazier. It's like the way I open the chips, apparently she doesn't like, cause she was like,
wait, how did you open the chips?
Yeah.
Well, I made like I cut it, but I guess the slip went too long for her.
Oh, yeah,
liking.
Then all
that's,
the chips
I mean,
out.
I'm with
no,
your mother.
They didn't fall out. They honestly, okay. It was still pretty fine, but she was like, what are you doing? Like, Tori, the chip, I was like, what? And this was like after she was like saying to me, like, you got to make your bed. And then she like she puts on this like voice of like that she's like older and she's like, make the bed for mommy. And I'm like, I do make the bed. Like, there's just so many things where she like criticizes me. Like if she sees me eating like multiple carbs throughout the day, she won't like say like, what are you eating? She'll be like, oh, you're eating a muffin? Didn't you have a bagel this morning?
It's, you know what it is? It's not criticism. It's comments. And she goes,
commentary.
I'm just making a comment.
Life.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just making a comment. My mom loves to differentiate when it's a comment. And I'm like, that doesn't make it better.
It's too many comments. I need them to stop with the comments.
Oh, you didn't put garlic in that. Oh, interesting.
Oh, she loves to. I can't eat garlic, and she loves to make a big deal everywhere we go that the food doesn't taste as good.
Well, it's so interesting. That's the way you wipe the counter.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. But, you know, all great mothers do that. I mean, I have a very close relationship with my mother-in-law. I love her dearly. And she loves to stand over me, like just like peering her head right over the cutting board and go, it's so interesting. I've never seen somebody cut vegetables that way.
No, hold on a second, Becky. That's not what she sounds like.
That's not what she said. She goes, oh, it's interesting. I never seen cut vegetables like this.
She's Russian.
It's so different.
Oh, Russian.
She's very,
Russian.
Very Russian.
Our mother
She's
is
very
Cuban.
Russian.
Becky's mother-in-law is Russian.
Mom's Cuban. Yeah, Becky's is Russian.
Yeah, my mom likes to use that word too. Like, no, it's it's just interesting. It's an interesting choice. She'll say that about my clothes, or recently, like, she's like, I'll wear like the jeans. I didn't bring that many clothes. I've been wearing, I guess, jeans again, maybe like the same, like not every day, but she's like, you're wearing the same jeans. That's disgusting.
And I'm better like, not come to my house.
I don't
my,
think my wife and I have been really wearing the same
jeans for. You're not even really supposed to wash jeans that often.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ruined them. Yeah.
All right, but, so that's one in the Tory column. We've gone with Lulu on the chips, but we're with Tori on the jeans.
Exactly. You're with me on the jeans. It's like, or she'll, you know what my favorite thing too, since because I live in LA, but I go home every like 4 months, like back to New York. But my favorite is when my mom like reconnects with someone she swore off, whether that's like a cousin of hers or like a friend. She sent this like long text to like years ago. And then the next thing I know, she's like, I'm on with cousin Susan. And then she's like, she's nuts. She's not. I'm like, I thought you like didn't talk. And she's like, well, she called me. I felt bad. And all I hear them talk about is cancer and death. I'm like, how is this good for you in any way?
Someone who you don't like just talking about the most depressing topics.
I mean, as
she like feeds into it. Yeah, they feed into it together.
There's like a bit of what I call a tragedy vampire, you know? They like live off the energy of the depressing things going on.
That's actually so true. That's what she loves to do.
So we are going to see you. When I say we, I believe it's Becky and I and our respective spouses. We have tickets.
As soon as you come to Spain, I will definitely come see you.
Okay, Spain. I don't think I have a huge audience there, but maybe you can help me organize.
I will say Lily knows all the Jews in the Canary Island.
And
Lily
knows all the people who speak English. And that Venn diagram of the Jews who speak English. There's like 7 of you.
Jews that speak English is a very, very niche group.
Really?
I can find you Jews that speak other languages.
You can do the show in Lily's living room.
I mean, listen, maybe. I'm planning to go to Europe in September. Maybe I'll stop by.
It's an easy trip. Lily,
I'll put you on the poster. You know, I'm like how comedians will be like, these are my tour dates. And I'll be like, your living room. And people will be like, oh my God, what venue is that? I'm like, it's a living room.
Yeah, like it's so hip.
And Lily loves hanging out with people who speak English because there are so few around her so much. She will house you too. So you can.
Okay.
So we're going to see you April 14th at the DC Comedy Loft. I'm making sure I get all the times in 7 p.m. Doors at 6 p.m. And I think I've been following you because of Instagram. Instagram found the algorithm and I just kept getting served your reels. And this is hilarious. So I sent it to the family. So we've been following you for a while. And your jokes, I would not say are all PG, but when you're doing a live show like you'll be doing, your mom is sometimes, or your family are sometimes in the audience.
So when I do stand up, I like my parents to come to like events where I need them. Like for instance, when I did my comedy special, I was like, I need you to be there because I've already like worked the material. Like I just need bodies in the room. You know what I mean? But when it comes to like now stuff I've been working on, obviously like newer stuff since my special, and my parents want to come see me and I'm just like, I just can't like handle you being there because I'm still like working out stuff. But yeah, my dad loves when I'm inappropriate on stage. He like loves, he's very, my dad is like the opposite of like the father that's like, oh, my daughter's talking to a boy, like I'm going to bring a rifle. Like he is. My dad is like the most inappropriate person I've ever met. He's gotten worse as he's gotten older too.
Well, that's just how they age. It's
like, for example, my dad's a dentist and we went to one of his patients' 103rd birthday party.
Oh, geez. And that guy has teeth?
That was good to say.
No, he's like has teeth.
Your
like,
dad is an amazing dentist.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the one keeping him alive. Actually, the guy said that.
No. Tooth health, your plaque and your dental health is, I think, very well connected to all sorts of other, you know, well-being issues.
Okay, so then let's call my dad the, you know, the new place you'll go to, like if you want to live till 100.
It's like one of those Medi health spas, but dentist-y.
Exactly.
You get a cold plunge. So your dad and old tooth.
So we go, and the first thing my dad says, he turns to the old guy and he's like, I brought my wife. about me. Like I'm I'm the wife. And okay, that's not like that inappropriate, but like
it is inappropriate. That's inappropriate on so many levels,
Tori. That's inappropriate.
That's like the start of what happened the rest of the night. So he said that.
Oh, that's the beginning. Okay. Because I just want to set this up for people who don't know. It's gross, but you and your mom do look alike.
Right.
And like, yeah, so.
My dad thought it would be very funny to have this old, to think that he's dating a much younger wife.
Right.
My dad thought it was the funniest.
Or just playing on an old man not knowing what's going on and just like he can't see you. So he just.
I think it was really about the fact that because the guy is like really with it. He thought it was funny.
His teeth shy. Come on.
Yeah, he got all his teeth. And then I guess more inappropriate things he said, he like not even about me, just more like in relation to people at the party. I guess he knew people, but he did this thing. Let me know if your parents do this, where he'll like bring up something that's very deep probably with that person that maybe they don't want to talk about it, like a birthday party.
Yes.
Like my dad was one of the guys 103rd birthday, like his great grandson, they all like know each other. I guess they all go to my dad. And my dad's like, to this kid, he's like 30. He's like, I haven't seen you in a while. But I heard you're back in school. And you know what? I'm so glad you found your thing. Cause I know you had trouble for a little bit. You couldn't find what you were doing. You know, now you're going to engineering school. And how's your brother? I know you don't have a close relationship with your brother, but I know his, you know, I know he's not doing well since he was a drug addict, but you know, it's hard. It's hard to have family. Like he literally.
But he's not doing it to be funny. At this point, he's just going deep.
An unfiltered man.
Unfiltered, and I'm like, he thinks he's like Oprah, but this like for the first 2 minutes of these people's conversation, it's so inappropriate. It's like, what are you doing?
Okay, so there's an episode I listened to recently of Got It From My Mama, available on podcasting platforms everywhere, where I did not realize for the whole beginning of the show it wasn't your mother and it was you imitating your mother. Is that true, or was I just, or it's just like a bit where your mother pretends you're pretending to be her?
I don't think we've ever. I guess I just did it that episode, maybe.
Oh, okay.
We've done so many episodes, I can't remember. But yeah,
she wasn't on that episode, so I think you were doing her. So
I think I was probably doing her, like her response to that. I mean,
right?
I just know her so well, and she knows me so well, which is annoying.
Well, it makes sense that she knows you well. That makes sense.
You talked about working out new material. So you're a stand-up. Like, what's that experience like? Because to me, of the performance arts, I don't know what you think, Becky and Lily, stand-up comedy, the scariest by 1,000%.
Terrifying.
I admire it.
And this whole idea that you have to, like, work out material, which means you have to just go up and get things wrong for, like, a really long time until you figure out how to make it work. That sounds insane to me.
Yeah, like, a band just practices their song a bunch of times, and they go and do it.
Right.
And like maybe they improve over time, but there's no like, and maybe they find out whether or not people will
not clap like writing at the song while performing it for people.
Right. No, it's definitely like, what were you saying?
No, nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, no. It's just that like, I feel like I kind of come up with bits differently. Like, I'll have a bit where I start it because something funny happened and I'm like, oh, okay, this is something funny. I'll say it on stage. Oh, it got a laugh. Okay. So now I can like build around it, you know, or sometimes that something funny didn't happen. It's more just like an idea about something, an observation. And then that's more of like building it. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think you have to get used to being like, this might not get laughs. Where is this going? Also just like, you know, if you wrote some stuff down, making it seem like it's not something you're like reading. You know what I mean? Like you're not memorizing.
Yeah. But you still have to remember it off by heart and know when to land the joke and all, like, it's still like a performance of a play that is in your head or whatever, your story.
Yeah. And like every audience. Yeah. And every audience is like very different too. Like I did like a taping for something and like the audience was like really shitty, like barely any laughs.
Oh, no.
And you're doing your like best material and they're like not even giving you anything. So you have to be like almost like blackout kind of like I would describe it almost like, and as a comedian, it's so strange because you want to hear, like you feed off of the laughs, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, it feels very, even though like you can deliver the jokes and you're like, I know this worked 99% of the time. I always describe it. It feels like when the audience doesn't laugh with you, it feels like you're like having sex with someone, but they're like not enjoying it. And you're just like, okay, this, and then you're like, are you sure you want to be there? And the person's like, yeah, but they're like not moving or not enjoying, no smile. Like that's what it feels like as a stand-up when like the audience isn't with you.
We'll remember that on the
14th. No, please laugh. That's what I'm saying.
I think we're a good audience. If only we could bring, actually mom's going to be in town. We should bring mom because she'll laugh the whole time. Can we bring our mom?
Of course. Bring whoever.
Oh, we should totally.
She's going to be in town?
I think so. You never know with mom. She's a tornado. She just shows up. She's coming.
Shai, the number of times she has just turned up at your door and she's like, what? I'm here.
I will say though.
Well, there's two of us so she can really play us off each other. Right?
Right.
Oh.
But here's the thing is that I would love for mom to go because as like chill your dad seems to be with like crude or inappropriate jokes, our mom is pretty conservative.
Oh, no, but she loves dirty jokes.
She blushes though.
Yeah, but she, like, she
I would love
it's
for
so
you.
Weird to me that you're describing her as conservative because
I feel like it's her
now
like,
I feel like
a
I
little
need
bit
to
prudish.
Weren't you with
fashioned.
Us in
no, but she's a
I'm
little
so
old
confused.
Fashioned.
She's old fashioned, but she's not.
She's old. That's what
I'm sorry. Am I the only one that remembers our family trip to Vegas that you two are describing her as old fashioned?
I was not allowed to come
what
to Magic Mike,
do?
So I can't tell you what happened.
The woman likes a sexy striptease. We went to Magic Mike.
Okay.
I also feel like she has that side that's a little old fashioned. I don't know.
Okay, so if I see someone not laughing or getting or
it,
blushing,
that won't be
she'll
her.
Definitely
oh, no,
giggle.
No, no,
oh, no, no.
She'll laugh till
she
cries.
Out of control. Like she might pee herself, but she'll be like blushing red because she'll be like, oh.
She has short white hair. You'll see her.
Okay. I'll look out for her.
Hopefully
speaking
she
of
comes.
Hair, I just have to say your hair is amazing.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's up right now, but I will be down for the show.
Your
okay,
hair
I made,
is
I made a
quite
little...
a situation.
That's another thing she said when I came. The moment I came home, my mom is like, oh my God, you need a haircut? I don't understand. How do you walk around with this?
I would never cut my hair if that was my hair.
Well, the thing is with my hair, I do kind of have to frequently not cut the length, but the top because then it like starts losing its shape. But yeah, she was like, oh my God, how could you walk around like that? Like you would think I was walking around with like no pants on the way she was describing my hair. She was like, how could you walk around like that? She's like, I mean, look, it's horrible. It's horrible. I'm calling the hair. And then she'll like take charge and like call the hairstylist that I like used to see while she was here. And she was like, okay, you can take my appointment. You can take my appointment. I was just like,
that is a classic mom. Mom's always so offering classic. Her appointments to everyone.
Right?
I absolutely. Okay. Prettiest girl in the special school, at the special school, is your special. And I mean, you make no secret of it that you're dyslexic.
Yes.
And you build a lot of the humor around your experience, you know, growing up with that disability. Is that the term you like to use? How do you feel and how do folks who went to your school feel about you having made this into such a disarming and hilarious story?
I mean, I think like when I was coming up with the title, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. And then my boyfriend who kind of, he's a writer, but doesn't do stand up. But like, we were kind of like figuring out when I was putting together the set, I was like, I have all these jokes, but how do I like kind of put together like a theme and stuff or like an arc type of thing. And then he was like, well, a lot of it's about being dyslexic, even though like you have some jokes about the school, but even about like dating, it's all about like, you know, how like your insecurities as a child will lead into like feeling insecure and not being enough as like an adult. So that's kind of like how the name came about, Prettiest Girl at the Special School. Other people at the school, I don't know how they feel about it. I've had some people from my school come see the show and they really liked it. And I was like doing one of the jokes I have is about like my principal. And so I remember like hearing a really big laugh even before the punch. And I was like, oh, I know those people are from my school that are laughing. Cause they're like, oh, that was such a good impression of the nut job principal we had. But yeah, I haven't.
That is a like that backlash. Is a very funny bit in your. That is a very funny bit in the thing talking about the principal and when you talk about that, you know, experience at the school, I feel like are people afraid to laugh? Are they like, should we be, or do you just kind of, kids going to school, kids make fun of their school no matter where they
are. Yeah, I think that people are like, okay to laugh. One time I had some woman come up to me, but she was like super drunk at some show. And she was like, my son is dyslexic. And I was like, okay. And she's like, why are you making fun of dyslexic people? You shouldn't be doing that. I was like, but I am dyslexic. And she was like so drunk, even in her drunkenness, she was like also dyslexic because she wasn't making any sense. She was like saying that I shouldn't be making fun of dyslexic people. I was being mean to dyslexic people, but she wasn't understanding that I also was like dyslexic. She was like,
got it.
I don't know if she was, maybe she was just drunk off of whiskey. I'm not sure.
And I wouldn't say your show is mean.
It's really
funny
and self-deprecating
and funny. And anyways, people should check it out. It's on YouTube. One of the other bits that we love that you did was it's just a topic that you addressed. I'm not going to like, it's not like a full bit or that you had a, you know, a sort of dramatic, you know, declaration, political opinion about this, is the concept of Nepo babies. And Lily, Becky, and I, being siblings who work together, you know, we feel for the Nepo babies. I guess we're not, I know Nepo's babies are supposed to be generational and all
of
that.
It depends on the Nepo
babies. Some of them are bad, some of them are good, but we haven't outlawed them entirely.
I mostly like Nepo babies.
Yeah, or put it like we like them or put it this way, we don't hold it against them. Right?
Right.
And so what we wanted to do with you, we don't hold it against them, which is like controversial opinion. But Lily also thinks that guy was right about the pineapple suite in White Lotus. So
I mean, that's the room he booked at the hotel. Like I would be so mad.
That's something like I feel like my mom would say too.
Yeah. Like
the two most discussed topics on this podcast are, but he booked the pineapple suite, so he should get that room.
And that's the room he booked.
And you know,
our mother
therapies.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're Nepo babies because we get to be our mother's children. Like that has like there she's not in the industry that we are in. In fact, like I don't think there's any thing connected between us and our mother's industry, but like our life is better because of our mom. So anyone who had parents who made their life better, you know, hey. So what we wanted to do is play the signature Friday night movie game with you.
Okay.
Buy, rent, meh. It's a ranking system. We're going to give you three people. We're going to do it in a bunch of different rounds. We're going to give you three people and your top choice is the one that you buy. Your middle choice is the one that you rent. Okay. And then meh doesn't have to be your lowest choice because you can describe whatever your meh means. It can be like, you know, it's because we don't want to have a last place. There's no losers in life.
That's something they said at my disabled school too. No one ever won. They were like, we're all winners. I'm like, but I definitely came in last when we were all sprinting, but okay.
So here's a few good ones. This is our just general, I don't know how to. So we've got Tori Spelling, daughter of Aaron Spelling and person who shares your first name.
Oh, she's a mess. I feel bad for her.
We've got Dakota Johnson from, she's like a double Nepo because she's got
a double Nepo and a third generation Nepo.
Yeah. Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson. And then Maya Hawk, daughter of
also
Ethan
a double
Hawk
Nepo.
And
double Nepo baby.
Double Nepo. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how would you rank those three? By rent.
Wait, I'm looking at Maya Hawke. I'm forgetting what she looks like.
She was in Stranger Things.
Looks like Thurman and Ethan Hawke had a baby.
Like an exact perfect cross between.
Okay, wait. I'm looking her up.
I think she looks more like Ethan Hawke, but sounds exactly like Uma Thurman.
Okay. Oh, no, I see what you're saying. Okay. I honestly think I would buy Tori Spelling because I feel like she just needs so much work and care. And she seems like that friend that's like such a mess, but you like love talking to them because they always have like some type of issue going. Like the fact that she got divorced, The house had mold. She went to the hospital. They were living in a RV, then to a motel. Yeah. Like, she's just a mess, this poor tour.
They went to their storage just recently. They both went to get their stuff out of storage, but then she was seen in the car crying and they reunited. I don't know. It's a lot.
I also think that she's underrated in her talent. She had a show called So Notorious.
Yes, I remember that. It
was a show about her life that I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, I loved that show. And I also liked her and Dean's reality show.
When they did that 90, was it reboot update, whatever it was, she was hilarious in it.
Yeah, they need to give her something.
So Tori's your number one. I think we agree.
Yeah, Tori. And then Dakota, I guess I would rent, although I find her kind of boring.
I just want her to read books on tape. Her voice relaxes me so much.
I think that if she makes you sleepy, Shai, I'm not sure that that's...
Oh, no, I have such a hard time staying asleep. So voices that relax me are important in my life.
And then Maya, I would... I don't know.
She doesn't listen to this podcast. Don't worry.
I just don't know anything about her, but I'm looking her up now. And I feel like
she had her big break, I guess, even though she's the child of two very famous actors.
Like the moment she came out of the womb, she had a break. Right. Okay. Yeah.
She had her break in Stranger Things.
All right.
Right. Okay.
All right. So our next category, I'm calling this the hip young dudes, although these guys, I guess, aren't all young anymore. But we've got Jack Quaid.
Okay.
Dennis Quaid's son. Okay, he's in one of the Scream movies recently. And
okay, I'm looking all these people up so I know. So Jack Quaid. Okay, yes, I know him.
Wyatt Russell.
Okay.
That's Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, right? It's Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son?
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son.
Right.
And then Colin Hanks, son of Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Not Rita Wilson.
No?
No, it's his first wife.
No.
Oh, really? He had a first wife? There's someone other than Rita Wilson?
Yeah.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, all Hollywood celebrities have a starter marriage.
Oh,
before,
okay.
I didn't know Colin Hanks was a nepo baby.
I mean,
the last name Hanks didn't give it away.
And
that he looks and sounds exactly like his dad. I love him. I've loved him since he was a young actor.
I don't think he looks like his dad to me.
When he talks,
what?
When you see him sort of
his head shape is the same.
If he does any physical comedy, it's a flashback to when his dad was
I think he has a skinnier face than Tom Hanks. Does that make sense? Tom Hanks has a thicker face.
He has a smaller head, I think.
Right. Okay. Overall. So I feel like Colin Hanks, I would buy. He seems like a good guy. I would love to know more about. Yeah. He just seems like a good guy.
That's accurate. He seems like an accurate person.
Yeah.
I love him as an actor. I have to say, I've been seeking stuff out with him since I saw him in Orange County. He's awesome.
And then Jack Quaid, I don't know much about, I guess, I mean, he seems like a sweet boy. I guess I would rent him.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Yeah, I would rent him. Maybe we would if I was single, we would go on a date. He seems like a guy that would show up maybe with flowers for your third date or something. You know what I mean? He doesn't seem like an asshole. Or maybe he's secretly an asshole.
I showed up with flowers on my fifth date with my wife.
And when he smiles super big, he looks sometimes he looks exactly like his mom and Meg Ryan, and then sometimes he looks exactly like his dad. He was just in this rom-com and there's one scene where he's laughing and he has a big smile, and it was weird to see Dennis Quaid.
And I also love Meg Ryan. I just think she's so fun.
Oh yeah, Meg Ryan, legend. Okay, Wyatt Russell.
This is a hard category because all of them seem very nice.
All of them.
Yeah, So
these guys are all awesome.
Good parents, then.
Good parents, yeah.
Good, as my mother would say, they were raised well. They seem like nice people.
All right, now let's get into another second-generation group here. I feel like you're going to know two of these at least really well.
Okay.
One of them is Northwest.
Okay.
Another is Blue Ivy. I just assume that these two are either, like, if there was a superhero show, they would be enemies and then they team up against their parents. and then Emilio Estevez, because he's also second generation and I needed another one.
Right.
Even though he's in his like 60s now. How would you rank these three?
Well, I'm actually kind of obsessed with Northwest. I feel like she seems, I follow some like account where it's like the Kardashian kids, like the Dash kids or something. And I follow all their like dances. I just find their lives like very interesting. Like they literally never knew anything else besides this like royal American life they live. True. Do you know what I mean?
They like are royalty in the United States.
That is- I think Northwest, I would buy her because she seems like fascinating. She seems like a little snarky. Definitely has a little attitude.
Yeah.
Blue Ivy seems a little more like sweet and calm. Like I feel like Blue Ivy, if Northwest and Blue Ivy were friends, Blue Ivy would be the one like holding back Northwest's hair when she like vomited or like be like, oh my God, you lost your phone, North. Again, stop losing your phone. You know what I mean? And I was like, back off. Back off. My dad's Kanye West. You know what I mean?
I feel like we've got a show cooking.
At all tracks. That all tracks.
So Blue Ivy, I would rent because she just seems like sweet. Even though she kind of seems boring. I don't know. She just seems like a good person. Again. You know what I mean? Like there doesn't, like, I feel like she seems sweet. And she's like trying to dance with her mom, which is like cute. But cute. Northwest just seems like she's like, she's attitude. She's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, how can you not have like Northwest? Like she made a song with her dad. I'm sorry. No way. Like this girl is humble in any way. Right?
I think that's accurate.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I like, get the fascination factor. And then you're going to meh the old man that we threw in this category.
Yeah, I think he's going to admit.
I mean, okay. It's a weird category, Shai.
Fair. It is. I was weird on purpose. All right, Tori, as we wrap, we always love to get recommendations from our guests. We, of course, recommend everyone go see you at the DC Comedy Loft on the 14th of April and that people check out your special and your podcast.
Thank you.
What do you recommend?
In terms of shows? Well, since I've been back in New York, and I've already seen this series probably like 10 times throughout all the seasons. I love to rewatch Sex and the City when I'm home in New York. It's like my favorite thing to do at night. I watch like one episode. I don't know. I think you need to be in the city of New York to make the show feel real again and like new.
Are you watching original season or the new?
Oh, the original. I won't give time. The original, I will watch each episode like 20 times before ever rewatching the newer show twice. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just, it doesn't do anything for me. So I would say that's, honestly, that's mostly what I've been watching at night. Like, when I come home from my shows, I just pop it on. It's like my little guilty pleasure. It still pretty much holds up. Although they did have a controversial episode when Samantha becomes a lesbian. There's a lot of jokes in there that they wouldn't really be saying now. But yeah, that's kind of, my mom would tell you to go watch Brothers and Sisters, which was a show.
Oh, I remember that show.
That's Sally Field.
That's so old.
Sally Fields in that show?
Yeah, that's who your mom's watching?
Our mom is probably watching it right now.
You know why she likes that show though? It's because, and this is a sick, sick thought, and I told my sister this and she agreed, it's because they have such a strong family dynamic. And in my mom's sick mind, she thinks that me and my sister aren't close enough to her. So she watches these shows to be like, oh, and look at the way they treat their mother.
Podcast with her.
No, I'm telling you, nothing's ever good enough. So that's what she would say.
I think really that is as perfect a note as we could end on with this episode. Tori Piskin, it's so wonderful to have you here and have you join the Friday Night Movie family. Have an amazing show. We'll see you there.
Oh my God, I can't wait to meet you guys in person.
Very excited.
Have a great time. I'm jealous that they get to go.
But Lily, we're going to put together the living room show in Spain, right?
I love it.
The Jewish living room show.
The Chabad will come. Lily's like the most important customer to the Chabad there.
Oh, and she's not even Orthodox. While I'm visiting, you'll have at least a couple more.
I don't know how into job jokes Chabad is, though. But
I'll do it only Jewish. I have a lot of Jewish jokes, so it's fine.
Okay.
Amazing.
All right. Thanks so bye, everyone. Bye. Thanks for having
great.
Me.
Great show. See you
bye.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Friday Night Movie, the sibling rivalry and pop culture podcast. Join the Friday Night Movie family by following at Fry Night Movie on all of the socials and visiting our website, frynightmovie.com. Our theme song is by What Does It Eat? And make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.